Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed. Tower number two of the Mark Moses Show, only right here on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Yes, if you're just waking up from a coma, France has defeated Belgium 1-0. They're going to move on to the World Cup Final, trying to win their first since 1998. Now, joining me here on the Club 52 hotline, because I know he wants to chime in on the craziness that is Brock Lesnar with UFC and the WWE, one of my good friends that covers the ACC. Oh, yeah, we have a lot of acronyms. His name is Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Was that enough? Am I missing ACC, UFC, WWE? Are there any I missed in there?
Hey, ESPN. I do ESPN college baseball and college football these days, too. So, yeah, there's another acronym for you.
Okay. What did you think of Brock Lesnar, where he showed up after the fight on Saturday night when he's the WWE champion, but now he wants to fight for the heavyweight championship for the UFC? What was your gut reaction when you saw this?
Not surprised. He got $2.5 million 2 years ago for that Mark Hunt fight. And of course, that ended up being a no contest. He won the fight that night, but the rule of no contest after he failed the PED test. He had to pay a $250,000 fine. He still made a good amount of money that night. And Dana White needs something. That night, that UFC was UFC 200. That had over a million pay-per-view buys. Now, we don't have numbers for UFC 226, the one we saw Saturday night, but 225 last month, only 150,000 pay-per-view buys. Dana White needs to get people to buy pay-per-views. Brock Lesnar gets people to buy pay-per-views. You and I were chatting about this on text last night.
Yeah.
Go watch. So, I'm not surprised. They want to make money. They both are going to make money together. So, yeah, I say go for it.
All right, let's clarify something. He is still technically suspended, though, right, from fighting?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
Yeah, he served 1 month, I think, of the original 6 month suspension he got, and he decided to just retire from UFC, he said. So, now he's back in the testing program. Word is that as of last week, last Tuesday, he got back into the drug testing program. So he still has to serve out the next 5 months, go through the mandatory drug testing, etc. So he'll be eligible to come back perhaps as early as January 15th.
Look, if you knew you wanted to fight again, why don't you just... All right, you know what I'm going to say here. It's too logical. Why did you do this 6 months ago and then say you'd be eligible to fight again? It's ridiculous.
I would say it's probably a matter of WWE and how much money they paid him. Now, he made, according to Forbes, Brock Lesnar was paid $6.5 million last year by WWE, which ain't bad considering how little he works in WWE. What did he do, like 3 or 4 matches, maybe a total of 30 minutes of in-ring action, a couple of brawls, and that's the extent of his time in WWE to make $6.5 million. So, when Vince McMahon's throwing that kind of money at you to do just a little bit of work, you don't really need to. But now, and I'm sure part of his allure, stay away, maybe make it hard for Dana White is, he's driving his price up. And when you see those pay-per-view buy numbers from UFC in the last few months, and they're not good. I mean, back again, 2016, he helps draw over a million pay-per-view buys. And they're in the 150,000 to 200,000 range the last several months. His price goes up. So when I quote that figure from a couple of years ago, $2.5 million for what he got paid for that Mark Hunt fight, that's going to go up. And so, he's kind of making himself the belle of the ball here. And with Daniel Cormier, he probably sees that and says, hey, I can beat that guy. He's a shrimp. He's overweight. He didn't look good. He won his fight, but he just doesn't look physically good. I can beat that guy. So give me $5 million and I'll show you.
He has the greatest career right now, what you're saying, where he doesn't even have to show up in the WWE week in and week out. He just shows up when he wants. And then if he does this fight in January, he doesn't even have to win. If he just puts up a fight and gives him like 5 rounds or 3 rounds, whatever it's going to be, he's going to go, well, I can compete in the UFC, so I'm awesome. He's got the greatest life ever, Chris. I'm sorry. I need you to know that.
Oh, he surely does, because here's the thing: it's not a guarantee that if he accepts a fight with Cormier and they schedule it, say January or February of next year, that he has to give up WWE. He's got them over a barrel too, because creatively WWE's been trying for years to make Roman Reigns the next John Cena, and it's just not working. And that standpoint, though, Vince McMahon, as desperately as he wants Roman Reigns to get over as being the next, you know, face of WWE, they've been using Brock Lesnar as a stopgap. Now, this has been going on for 3 years,
yeah,
and there's really no end in sight. There's rumor that at SummerSlam next month, we'll once again see Roman Reigns challenge Brock Lesnar for the championship. And, you know, I don't know that you assume that just because Brock Lesnar's talking to UFC and he shows up at the end of the pay-per-view and pushes Daniel Cormier and he says a bunch of expletives and get all the headlines after. He took the headlines away from Cormier, won the championship in a huge upset win. And but I don't think there's any guarantee that he loses his belt at SummerSlam, because, you know, what's WWE going to do? Just all of a sudden decide that, hey, yeah, oh, by the way, we've decided finally that Roman Reigns is ready. I think that ship has really passed as far as Roman Reigns is concerned. So I think that means Lesnar is, you know, he still likely can play whatever he wants to. He can be WWE champion and potentially be UFC.
I know. That would be incredible if that actually happens. That's what gets me excited. You're absolutely right. But I don't think he can win the belt, because you were saying this for the last couple minutes. 2 years ago, he got back to the octagon, and he had to cheat just to barely beat some jobber out there in UFC. Yeah. I'm sorry if you said he barely beat that guy. He can't beat the champ. He hasn't done it in 2 years, and he won't be able to take any substances either. He doesn't have a chance. Do you think he has any chance? Because I don't.
You know, he hasn't really been relevant in UFC and in MMA since 2010. You know, when he lost to Cain Velasquez, the loss to Velasquez, the first round knockout loss, that's where we saw that he was starting to go downhill. It was actually, you know, the diverticulitis that he suffered before that fight. You know, he was almost out for a year with that ailment. He was not the same in that Velasquez fight. He's really not been the same since that health issue that he had, you know, a very, very serious health issue he had that almost threatened his life. And that's, we're talking 8 years ago, you know, 9 years ago since the health issue first came up. So, you know, when he went back to WWE in 2012, that made a lot of sense because, hey, you can still be a big, imposing guy. You can have Paul Heyman talk for you. They'll put a belt around your waist a few times, and you get to be a champion without really having to risk yourself. Then he decides, hey, you know, I've been doing this for a few years. Being a wife's offering a lot of money. It's UFC 200. They're winning a main event. They'll put a tomato can in front of me. They won't even make me go through the drug testing protocol.
No.
They'll just let me fight. And then he barely wins that fight, as you mentioned. I think he thinks he can win the fight. I think he thinks that he wins this fight. He gets to, you know, pick the best of both worlds, maybe get another couple of those big money paydays in UFC. But I think it's really hard to imagine him having a chance. Cormier is 39 years old. Lesnar will be 41 this week. He turns 41 on Thursday. They're about the same age. Cormier, he looks good from a fighting standpoint, but boy, he put a lot of weight on. 246 pounds for that fight. He looked flabby. I mean, you know, so I'm sure Lesnar in his mind is saying, look at that guy. Come on, I can take that guy.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody else out there, though, thinks that that's possible. This would have been an awesome fight 6-7 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago before Lesnar's health issue. The idea that both these guys were such great amateur wrestlers. Lesnar, at his height in UFC, was a very good MMA fighter. Cormier is a very good MMA fighter now. But this fight is good on paper. It's not going to be very good when we see it in the ring, in the octagon.
Have you noticed where you have that happen last Saturday night with Brock Lesnar acting like it's the WWE with his postgame, which I love, by the way? Then, remember, a couple months ago, we had Conor McGregor also go WWE style, where he's like attacking the bus and he's messing with press conferences. What's going on here after a while? In your opinion, I know you love these sports, do you feel like they're getting a little desperate? Like, okay, we need to get headlines again. We got to make this relevant again when you look at UFC.
I really think so. I mean, and again, those pay-per-view buy rate numbers are the indication. You know, we don't know the numbers from last Saturday night yet. We probably won't know for a few days. They don't only be preliminary numbers. But, you know, the heyday of UFC when you can routinely have a million pay-per-view buys, that's long since in the past. you know, and UFC 225 significant because that was the last effort from Dana White to try to do anything he could with CM Punk.
Yeah.
That card was in Chicago. CM Punk, you know, of course, one of the, you know, all time, well, not all time, but maybe the last 10 years, one of the greatest wrestlers in WWE. So he's got name recognition. He's in his hometown. They put him on the main card. They left Alistair Overeem off the main card. Alistair Overeem's match won the FS1 pre-fight special, the highest rated match of that special, and then nobody buys the UFC 225. So, yeah, and the fact that after Lesnar comes into the ring and pushes Cormier and cusses everybody out before leaving, is on ESPN all day long the next day, and is the talk of the sports world on Monday afterwards as well, is an indication of, and Lesnar even said he was invited there by Dana White to basically go in the ring and challenge whoever won that fight. So he was there to make his presence known and say, I'm here to fight the champion in January, February, whenever that may be. Dana White's no fool. I mean, he knows that Lesnar can move some pay-per-view buys. There's probably only one fight left in Lesnar's career because he's fighting a champion here. He's not fighting Mark Hunt. He is fighting Daniel Cormier, one of the better MMA fighters in recent memory. So that's it. This is it for Lesnar. That's it for Dana White in terms of his marketability. But, hey, that is a sign of desperation because we're 6 months away from a potential fight involving Brock Lesnar. Probably the last fight we'll see from Brock Lesnar.
Huh.
And that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah. Didn't ESPN... Didn't they buy, I could be crazier, didn't they buy a lot of the rights from Fox now to have more UFC
right.
on? Yeah, they're not stupid. This is what, look, you're right. It's going to be January after the holidays. It's going to be a Saturday night. It's going to be for the belt. And I'll tell you, if Brock Lesnar can win, then that'll solidify him as one of the great athletes if he can get it done. Now, is he going to be clean? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. I can't. I think the problem with the UFC is, and we'll get your take, is the minute they have a name, that guy's too old or he's washed up. Even Ronda Rousey, where she's like the big name, and then she got beat up a couple times. They don't have they don't have any names. Even Conor McGregor, what's he doing right now? What's happening with this? Because you thought for years, okay, boxing is dead, UFC is going to be the norm, but who are the big names in UFC right now? Because I have no idea, Chris.
They're the names you just mentioned, and none of them are really active fighters right now.
No.
I mean, Ronda Rousey, the WWE performer, she's taking the Brock Lesnar round, and I totally support that for her. Why risk injury and further ridicule from fans? And you know, the training for the UFC is so different than training for WWE. You still got to be in shape. WWE, you know, pro wrestling is a very athletic endeavor, but it's not a sport, and you know the outcomes are predetermined. We all know that, and so you know things can happen. I mean, wrestlers can get injured, but it's an accident if they get injured. And in UFC, I mean, bad things can happen, and that's the intent of the whole thing. You're trying to pummel your opponent for the victory and to have a chance to be a champion and move on and that kind of thing. So, you know, McGregor got that money from the Mayweather fight, and I'm sure he's thinking, why do I need to take that abuse anymore? I mean, you know, Mayweather tapping me for 12 rounds versus, you know, going out there for 5 rounds and, you know, and really mixing it up. And in an MMA format where anything can happen, wrestling or ground and pound or kickboxing or boxing, you know, Rousey, of course, she had that movie career that started. Lesnar has been doing WWE for all this time. But that's the thing, that those athletes, the men and the women in UFC who worked their way to the top, they work so hard to get there, and once they're there, they realize, you know what, I got to protect this because, you know, I maybe have one or two big money fights left, and so then they pull back, they don't you know compete quite as hard, and it's not as interesting, and we as fans feel unfulfilled, and less of us are buying those pay-per-views now, so it's a cycle that makes a lot of sense because it's such a brutal sport.
It really is. I really like the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather boxing fight. I thought it was like, okay, the key is, I know it was, when was this, like last August? If Floyd Mayweather was 27 years old, he would have destroyed Conor McGregor in the first round. Like, there's no doubt about it. But I give credit for Conor McGregor. I thought he was better than I thought he'd be in that fight. Did you see it?
You know, I did. I watched the fight, and here's what I'll tell you. As a long-term observer, and having worked in the world of professional wrestling for a while as a writer, that felt like a wrestling match to me more than a boxing match. It felt like a work from what people in the wrestling business call a work, you know, where because I think even Mayweather at the age he's at now, if he really wanted to win that fight in the first round, he would have won that fight in the first round. But he kept McGregor in the fight because, you know, we didn't pay the money we paid for that fight to not see a good what we thought would be a good fight. And so, you know, he let McGregor stand up. He let him, you know, get a couple of flurries in, but nothing that would danger, you know, Money Mayweather. And at the end of the night, he left open the possibility, hey, let's see. If there's any talk about a rematch, I've left that open now because it was a 12-round decision. So, you know, I felt like we all got worked on that one because that night, watching it live, I thought, yeah, I can't believe this. I can't believe McGregor's there. But, no, I really don't think that was on the up and up. I really felt like that was Mayweather being a good businessman, preserving another future potential money-making opportunity with a willing partner in Conor McGregor.
Well, he's a genius then because then he knocked him out. I mean, I never thought of it that way. See, this is why you look behind the curtain. That's what I like. Now, I wrote this on Twitter last night, where why is WWE trying to be UFC and UFC is trying to be WWE? I like wrestling because it's wrestling. I want it to be cartoonish at the same time. I don't want it to be where it's all, like the whole roster is X UFC fighters. I don't want to see that. I want to see the traditional, you know, corniness of wrestling. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Shayna Mokler as the NXT Women's Champion. I want to see, like, Mandy Rose as the champion. That's what I want, Chris. What about you?
Well, and even Ronda Rousey, we don't want her going out there Brock Lesnar-like and just running through the opposition on her way to a championship and a boring title reign, even with Raw or SmackDown Women's Champion. We want her to do a Hurricane Rana. We want her to, you know, to have some silly thing happen where somebody beats up her boyfriend and she gets mad and there's a month-long feud as a result of that. That's what you watch wrestling for. You watch soap opera. You watch it for those dangerous moves that they execute flawlessly and actually don't hurt each other, but it makes you think, oh my God, I can't believe they dropped her on her head, you know? And whereas, you know, yeah, with the UFC, well, and I think also the CM Punk move to UFC was good in a way for that too. I mean, it wasn't good for Dana White. He spent a lot of money for nothing, for two horrible performances by CM Punk. But it just went to show just how hard UFC is. I mean, it's not CM Punk in a wrestling ring is one of the better workers of our generation. He and Shawn Michaels, are up there on Mount Rushmore with, and I can't even think who else, maybe Ric Flair and someone else, but they can work better than anybody else. And CM Punk's one of those guys. You put him in UFC, he was awful. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't put his hands together. He couldn't put his feet together and work in concert. So it showed how hard UFC really is. If even a guy as talented in a wrestling ring as CM Punk couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, I like that wall of separation, and I'd like to see it even more defined.
Look, you really find out how tough you are when you get punched in the face. That's what this is about. After CM Punk, you talk about a guy that just destroyed his career. I know, I get it. He wanted to prove that he could be a real fighter and that he's not just some wrestler, but he didn't prove anyone. He was too old after a while anyway. It's a younger man's sport. I don't know.
It is, and also it's a sport. I mean, you can call it a sport. I mean, yeah, it's a sport. It's not sporting entertainment. It's not. I call wrestling, having worked in the business the way I did for a few years, it's combat theater. It's a very athletic endeavor, but it's theater. It's worked out ahead of time. You know what's going to happen. And, you know, CM Punk did not have a background out in Brock Lesnar, certainly did.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey, even before UFC, she had the background in Taekwondo. She was in the Olympics and won, a bronze medal in legitimate, you know, fighting atmosphere. CM Punk did not have that background. He had to learn all that at a late age. As you mentioned, I think he was 36, 37 years old when he started training for UFC. I think for UFC, it was actually, even though it wasn't a good thing, but I think for UFC, it was a good thing. It showed how real UFC is, how tough MMA really is. And yeah, for CM Punk, though, it's a terrible end to his legacy because, you know, I don't see at this stage how he gets back into pro wrestling with any kind of legitimacy. If he decides to go back in a wrestling ring, we know he's pretty much a fraud as a fighter.
Here's the other thing. stop trying to hype Bobby Lashley. It's not happening, okay? Just stop it. Because he was in Bellator, whatever it's called, MMA.
Yeah, yeah.
He was there for a long time. And remember, you know what's funny about him? Remember, wasn't he in the WrestleMania fight where
yes.
he was with Donald Trump? So then it's like, who did Vince McMahon have as his guy? Do you remember?
I can't
remember.
Umaga.
So remember, Bobby Lashley won. So Donald Trump and Bobby Lashley then shaved the head of Vince McMahon. This is the president of the United States of America. I just want you to know this, Chris.
And only 10 years ago, and you know, there's a funny thing. WWE has sanitized on its WWE network at the end of that match. They've actually cleaned that up because they're trying
to... He's the president.
They're not really distancing themselves from the president. They're just trying to stay away from controversy. So,
man.
As much as Trump's in the WWE Hall of Fame, but they're trying to keep Lashley away from that because they don't want people booing Lashley because of the Trump thing. So that's kind of a funny...
I like how the president is in the WWE Hall of Fame, and he's going to have his own presidential library. That's incredible. Incredible. Oh, man. Don't you feel like, me and my coworker Eric talk about this all the time, they have a WWE Hall of Fame. Don't you feel like they need an actual museum that fans can go to, like it's Cooperstown or Canton, Ohio? Wouldn't you go to this, Chris?
Oh, yeah, and actually the perfect location is back there, right there in your neck of the woods, Performance Center, NXT Hall.
Yes.
You know, it would make sense from that standpoint, plus, you know, your area is a tourist area as well already. So, you know, I can just see the mecca of wrestling being, hey, let's go to the WWE Hall of Fame. Let's go watch the NXT, NXT guys and gals. Let's go to the Performance Center and watch people training. But, yeah, there a living, breathing Hall of Fame. You know, NASCAR did this a few years ago. I think they ended up in Charlotte with their Hall of Fame. And so it's one thing to say your name to a Hall of Fame. And you know, I've worked with Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express. He worked a few shows that I helped promote over the last few years. They actually give you this big honking ring that you wear on your finger. And the last time I saw Ricky was about a year ago. He had this huge, it was right after he got named to the Hall of Fame. He and Robert Gibson from Rock and Roll Express had just gotten inducted to the Hall of Fame. It was a Super Bowl-sized ring on his finger. It almost like had to hold your hand up. It was so big. But that's the only manifestation of it. You know, yeah, I think for fans, it would be a really neat thing to be able to go and see exhibits and you know, have a ring set up and maybe, you know, have talks by some of the Hall of Fame wrestlers and all those. It would be a neat thing to see. And I'm sure in the future, WWE, Vince McMahon knows how to make money. Once he figures out how to really make money at that, you'll see it happen.
No, he's putting $500 million into the XFL. He doesn't have time for your Hall of Fame. No. Look, I love wrestling, but I understand that it's scripted. Like, I get it. And here's the perfect example. 5 feet of fury. Alexa Bliss. I don't even know if she is 5 feet tall, and they're making her the champion. I think she's fantastic, but that's the perfect example. She's barely 5 feet tall, and they make her the champ. There's no
two-time champion beating Nia Jax. Now, yeah, it's the way they book her. You know, she's not really certainly the idea. And when I'm watching this, and my poor wife has to watch it with me, you know, she watches it. She's not a fan, but she knows enough because she watches it with me. She worked with me over here. But she'll watch and say, "How does that little girl have a chance in a real fight? There's no way she beat Nia Jax." But this is wrestling. You're not supposed to believe it's a real fight. She uses the Money in the Bank briefcase. I mean, that's the fun part of it. That's what you were talking about earlier, you know. It's not about who's the best. It's about the drama. And she's great on the mic. Actually,
yes.
Works pretty well in the ring, too. I really like Alexa Bliss. I've always thought so.
You remember in, like, Superman 4, which is a terrible movie, by the way, Superman takes all of the nuclear missiles, and he's so powerful he could just throw it into the sun? That's what I think Nia Jax could do to Alexa Bliss. Just pick her up and throw her like a football 50 yards down the field. That's what I imagine would really happen in real life.
Yeah, you really don't want, and this happens sometimes in house shows particularly. I mean, if it happens on a WWE Network show, the pay-per-view shows, you have a bit of a job, but you'll hear sometimes on house shows, you know, if one performer hits the other one, kind of stiff, as they say, you know, hits them with a hard shot, they'll respond back in kind. Boy, you know, Alexa Bliss does not want to mess up and hit Nia Jax with a hard shot and get Nia upset because, yeah, she might end up in the rafters if that was the case.
Hey, Nia Jax is 6 feet tall. She is big. Like, that is she will kill you and me, all right, in the ring.
No. No, there's no question, yeah.
There's no question. All right, I've interviewed many people from NXT. I think, and I need to get your thoughts on this. I think I'm mentally prepared, and I'm going to work on it. I need the Velveteen Dream on the show. Are you okay with this?
Oh, I'm more than okay with it. I think the Velveteen Dream, he is destined to be a star. I mean, and he's already really performing well in NXT. He's not getting the wins on the takeover shows, but he's putting on the best matches on the takeover shows. The last two or three, I'd say he's had the match tonight, or maybe the second best match tonight. The Gargano versus Ciampa feud has been so good the last couple of times.
We saw that in person, by the way, on an NXT taping. It was fantastic where they were killing each other.
That's the best feud in all of wrestling right now, I would say.
Oh, I know. And that dude, the bald-headed guy, what's his name? I can't think of it.
Tommaso Ciampa.
He doesn't have music. So your whole life now, you're used to, because when we were all kids, Hulk Hogan would come out to Real American. Like, we all know that. So we're so used to now of guys come out to intro songs. He doesn't come out to any music. It messes with you when you're at the show. You don't know what to think on this. What's going on here? It's amazing. It really is.
He doesn't come out to music, and he gets the loudest boos by far on those shows. So he is so over as a heel.
I know. It's amazing. It really is. Are we a month out from fall camp for football? Is that right?
We are. Well, we're within a month, yeah, because with the change in NCAA rules last year, Skulls and Ashes started in late July. So, I know SEC Media Day's coming up for you. ACC comes up next week in Charlotte. And I think we're a couple weeks out from there with actual practice starting, actual helmets and pads and everything else coming up. So it's that close.
Does the ACC Media, do they just say Dabo Swinney's fantastic and then no one else gets any love? Is that all it is now? Is that what it is, buddy?
And for good reason. This year particularly, going into last season, Florida State, what ended up to be a 7-6 season, DeAndre Francois goes down in the Alabama game. But going into the season, and Florida State actually got more love than Clemson got. Florida State was preseason number 3, and Clemson was top 5 or 6, but a lot of thoughts were Florida State was on the takeover. This year, with the change in top, Willie Taggart taking over for Jimbo Fisher, who left. Now the questions about Francois, does he even get his job back as a starting quarterback now that he's back healthy? And then Clemson. I mean, Clemson's got their defensive line is probably all All-American, be the first or second team All-American. And then your biggest question for Clemson is, who's our quarterback? Is it Kelly Bryant, the guy who led us to the playoffs last year, or is it Trevor Lawrence, the guy that everybody thinks is the next, the next big guy there, potentially a top draft pick when he's all said and done. So, that's the biggest question is which of two great quarterbacks is going to be a quarterback. Clemson is clearly the class of the ACC. Miami's probably a top 10 team. Virginia Tech will challenge in the Coastal. I think Miami's probably a little better. But that's the story there. But after those three teams, I think Florida State's a distant second over the Atlantic. Outside of those two in the Atlantic, it's a crapshoot. NC State loses Bradley Chubb. They're probably going to take a step back this year over in the Coastal after Miami and Virginia Tech. Probably Georgia Tech, whose coach Paul Johnson's on the hot seat this year. So, Clemson deserves the love they get because right now, that's clearly their conference.
Like you said, I have to go to SEC Media Days next week. I know, I'm going to have a good time. I'm acting like boo-hoo. Bad for me. Should I show up in my officially licensed Nike UCF is the national championship hat and interview people? Should I do that?
I would love it if you did, and then I would love to see how long you lasted doing that.
Can you imagine? Like, go right up to Alabama people. That's what it needs to be. Just go right up to Alabama people and have that hat on and see what happens. Oh man, they're coming here. They're going to play Camping World Stadium, Orlando, where who is it? It's Louisville and Bama for the opener, Labor Day weekend. I think all the UCF people should just show up and boycott the game. That's what they should do.
Show up and turn their backs like when they start or something. It'll be interesting to see what they do. You know Central Florida a lot better than me, but with the coaching change, they got talent there. Please, Mark, wear the hat.
All right.
And post some pictures. And you know, let's see how quick the hook comes and gong is hit or whatever the case may be.
I think I should get the hat insured then, because I don't think it'll be making it back to Central Florida. All right, how about this? We'll end with this. How about UFC? No, I can't even say it right. UCF. They go Brock Lesnar style, where Alabama's going to kill Louisville in this game. We all know it. They're going to get killed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Bama's going to win the game. They're going to handshake. Then all of a sudden, the UFC, see, I keep screwing it up. The UCF music hits, and then, like, you know, Coach Josh Heupel or Mackenzie Milne, the quarterback, goes, all right, we'll see you at the next pay-per-view. Let's have that.
It comes in and shoves somebody. I mean, you have to have some big feel, like a Baker Mayfield type, like, trying to flag at the thing. I mean, oh, yeah, I'm all for that.
I can't.
Football needs more of that. Football needs some more UFC, more WWE, more basketball. They get too nice out there to each other these days.
Yeah, I agree with you. If Nebraska was actually decent at football, like if they went 8-4, 9-3 last year, Mike Riley's still the coach, and then Scott Frost is still the coach at Central Florida. That's the what if. Imagine Scott Frost comes back with his undefeated team and runs the table again. That would have been the greatest chaos in the history of college football. That's what I would have loved, but we'll never know. So, but look, if UCF is 10-0 going into the final 2 weeks of the season, what is the selection committee going to do? I mean, what are they going to do, buddy, when you think about it? That's the question.
Yeah.
I think
there's potentially a Gonzaga effect. You know, the fact in basketball, you know, the first couple teams, you know, we saw Gonzaga go to a Sweet 16 or an Elite 8. The next year they come out and they still be seated like 10th or 12th or something like that. Before the selection committee realized, you know what, all we're doing really is hurting the teams, making them play in the first round when that happened. And so eventually Gonzaga, you know, and maybe even some years gets overseeded because they've earned that reputation now. You know, I think if we see UCF, you know, make a late season run and they're 10-0, 11-0 going into the last week or two of the season, it's going to be really hard this year. It's sort of like a lifetime achievement award kind of effect here. You're going to see a lot of clamor to say, you left these guys out last year. They beat Auburn in the bowl. You said they weren't good enough to compete with those kind of teams, and they did. You know, it's going to be hard to keep them out. So, you know, I know they've got some games against Power Fives early. I think Pitt's on their schedule this year to beat Miami. So, I mean, you know, Pitt's a probably fourth or fifth or sixth best team in the Coastal Division of the ACC. But, you know, you beat who's out in front of you. If UCF's able to do that and do what they need to do in conference play, it's going to be hard to keep them out this year based on the snub of last year. So
I know.
You know, I'm rooting for them to be able to do that. Just to chaos in college football is great. So the more chaos, the better.
I know. I agree with you. And by the way, this fine gentleman, his name is Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press out of Waynesboro, Virginia, does a great job, right? When I started covering UVA sports in 2010, I was at Scott Stadium. They put me in a seat. I sat by this fine gentleman, and we've been friends ever since. So thank you so much for all your help, buddy, and I hope I can get you on again. All right, man?
Yes, thank you, Mark.